Well, open your Bibles here tonight. Be in the book of Acts, and very short portion of scripture here in Acts we'll look at tonight, but in Acts chapter 19, and then verse 8 and through 10. Acts chapter 19, verse 8 through 10. And when he went into the synagogues and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, reasoning and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when various were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing or reasoning daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continually by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Let's pray here. Dear Lord God, thank you for this scripture we have here tonight, and we ask your blessing upon it. Father, help me be a vessel. Honor your Son, your word, and increase your word in our hearts. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I thank you for the word of the Lord that we have here. So, Lord, bless us as your people, and as we gather around it, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Apostle Paul continues with sharing the word of the Lord with people and just continuing his missionary journey. He's in Ephesus here, and he went into the synagogue, and he spoke boldly with the space of 3 months. Now, in that course of time, he reasoned and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. Now, we have a very reasonable faith. I mean, the word of God is very methodically and doctrine upon doctrine, line upon line, precept upon precept. The things of the word of God are very reasonable. But there's always those people in verse 9, when various were hardened. Acts 19, verse 9, when the various were hardened. I want to talk about that for a minute now. I've heard a lot of great preachers in my lifetime. And those that I didn't attend in person, I heard either on radio or television or when I was at college. I heard a lot of great people. But if I could sit under the Apostle Paul for 3 months, wouldn't that be pretty tremendous? I mean, the man that wrote the half of the New Testament, if you can count Hebrews, wouldn't it be tremendous to sit under his teaching? And in that space of 3 months, guess what? Some were not persuaded. I find that hard to believe. Do you know what I'm saying? Somebody is great. Now, the thing about Paul, he was no ordinary guy. Now, I don't want to get into it tonight, but verse 11, and God wrought special miracles by the hand of Paul. Now, Paul was nobody that just his power and anointing were incredible. And these miracles that he did testify, what he's saying is true. And yet people were hardened. Now, the hardened heart, why do people get a hardened heart? Why do people harden their heart against what they've heard? The heart is deceitful and what? Desperately wicked. Who can know it? And if you love, in John chapter 3, it says, men love darkness rather than what? Light, because their deeds are evil. And some people, when they hear the truth, the thing about truth is when somebody's presented with the truth, they have a choice to make. They're never neutral after that point. Either they embrace it or they reject it. And if you set it aside, that's almost like rejecting it. It's just a mild form of rejection if you just set it aside. You can't be neutral when you're presented with the truth of the gospel. Either you embrace it or you turn away from it. And these people were hardened and they believed not. But spake, now once you get hardened and you don't believe, you just don't stay in that state, but spake evil of that way before the multitude. Now, if people are presented with the truth and they harden their hearts, that conviction that comes upon them, they have to do something with that. And oftentimes they attack the very person that makes them feel bad. Now their guilt, their conscience, their works are condemning them. And they feel bad, and they push back at it. Well, turn to Hebrews 3 here for a moment, and we're just going to look at a short passage that deals with this hardened heart issue. Now, these people here in Ephesus, they had the Apostle Paul. He was speaking to them. They had the Old Testament scriptures. They're Jewish people in the synagogue, or maybe some Gentiles in there mixed in there also. But it's not just Paul and the scriptures. Look at verse 7 of Hebrews 3. Wherefore, as the Holy Spirit. Now, not only did they have Paul in all of his understanding of scripture, his experience, they had the scriptures, but the Holy Spirit is God's presence he left here on earth to help men see the way. Wherefore, the Holy Spirit, now, keep your fingers there. Don't lose your finger there. Turn to the Gospel of John here for a moment, just in reference to the Holy Spirit's work. John chapter 16, keep your finger in Hebrews, but in John 16, 7, I will tell you, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. If I go not away, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Now, what is he going to do when he sends? When he has come, he will reprove, rebuke the world, or convict the world of sin. In other words, how do we know what sin is? The Holy Spirit is saying, that is wrong. Stop what you're doing. I don't approve of this. The conviction of people, he'll reprove the world of sin and of righteousness. Now, whose righteousness is that speaking of? It's not speaking of the preachers or Apostle Paul. It's God's righteousness in Christ, the right way. In other words, you know what's wrong and you know what's right. And of judgment. That's the future judgment of the eternal God. That is the judgment to come. So what is the Holy Spirit going to do? He's going to tell people, this is wrong, this is right, you better get right because judgment's coming. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. If you're going to follow Satan, you better watch out. He's already judged. You don't want to follow him. So turn back over to Hebrews here. So, wherefore, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is working in people's heart, but they turn from the conviction. They turn from the truth. They turn away from God. But God gives us appeal in verse 7. Today, if you will hear his voice. Now, hearing is not just audible. It's not just like, I heard a sound. When you hear God, you act upon it. You obey it. When you hear God, you respond to his voice. That hearing just isn't audibly, but it's hearing with the will, the mind, the emotions, your heart you hear. Now, verse 8, that first word, they're hardened. Now, when somebody hears the word of the Lord and they reject it, what they've done, they may not even perceive at that moment, but they've hardened their heart. They've hardened their heart against the truth. Now, if somebody keeps hardening their heart over and over again, they can get to a point where they're just dead in their sins. They have no more conviction. They're just dead. They don't feel anything anymore. Their conscience is hardened. Their spirit is hardened. But God gives them, harden not your hearts. Now, here in the Ephesians there in Acts 19, those people harden their hearts. God says, harden not your heart is the day of provocation and the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation. Now, how does God feel about when somebody hardens their heart? He's grieved. Tell me what grieving is. That's an emotional word. Grieving, when you're grieved, that's an emotional feeling. God is grieved when people harden their heart against him and the truth. God say, this is who I am. This is, I've created you. This is what I expect from you. But God is grieved. He's sad. He has an emotional response. I was grieved with that generation, said, they do always err in their hearts. Now, have you ever known a strong-willed person? You ever known a strong-willed person? I have. A strong-willed person is somebody that they're presented with, this is what I want you to do, and what does a strong-willed person say? I won't do it. I won't do it. And even if they outwardly, it's like the little boy, his father said, he was standing up at the table in the kitchen, he said, sit down in your chair, son. And he wouldn't do it. He said, son, why don't you sit down? He wouldn't do it. Finally, he went over and pushed him down with his shoulder. Son, sit down in this chair. And the little boy looked at him and said, I may be sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. That is a strong-willed person. Because even if they outwardly do what you want, inwardly, they still haven't submitted yet. And a person that resists God and hardens their heart, a strong-willed person is very easy to fall into a hardened heart. Because you have some people that are compliable. A point of authority tells them to do something, guess what, they're on it. They just do it because they're told that they're compliable. Their personality, they want to please their parents, they want to please their boss, they want to do what's right because it's just right to do. But a hardened person, oftentimes, the footsteps of a hardened person and the footsteps of a strong-willed person, they're mighty close together. And harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation and the day of temptation. did God feel about the children of Israel when they didn't enter into the promised land? Verse 11, so I swear in my wrath. Now he's gone from being grieved to being what? In verse 11, wrath. Man, he's upset with you. Now, I may get people upset sometimes, but guess what? I don't want to get God upset. Because you get God angry with you in his wrath, it's not going to be good. You know what he said in verse 11? I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. You know, the thing about it is, when somebody's compliable, they're not strong-willed, they don't have a hardened heart, and they do what God says, at the end of the line, they get this blessing. They get the rest and peace and blessing of God over here. Right now, God may have you do something. You may not feel like doing it, but you do it because God told you to do it. But over here, God says, I got a rest for you. I got a blessing for you. I got a place for you that you're going to enjoy being at. And God says, guess what? Those hardened-hearted people, they're not going to enter into my rest. And I was grieved that generation and said, they do always err in their hearts, in verse 10. They have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Now, verse 12, those three words there says, take heed, who? Unbeliever, unregenerate people? Who's that say there in verse 12? Brethren. It's speaking on God's people. Can God's people have a hardened heart? They sure can. Because sometimes we hear spiritual things and they sound good. And what sometimes I've noticed people doing, they'll dance all over spiritual terms and Greek words and all that. It's all good stuff. But when it gets down to the nitty-gritty of living the Christian life, they aren't there. They rather talk spiritual, but they don't want to act spiritual. They don't want to do the things that are hard to do sometimes in the Christian life or just being faithful. Prayer is hard work. You pray earnestly, and it's hard work. And some people, they like to talk spiritual, but they don't live spiritual. But God can separate the sheep from the goats. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart. What does God call somebody who's hardened their heart? He calls it an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Well, if we find somebody like that, that's slacking up in their Christian life or not being faithful to the things of God, what does God want us to do but exhort one another daily? While it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Why do people get a hardened heart? Because their heart's been hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Now, why is sin deceitful? Why is sin deceitful? Why is sin deceitful? Because it promised you pleasure. Is there pleasure in sin? But what's the deceitfulness of sin? It's only for what? A season. And then you got the penalty on this side. So that's what sin is deceitful. It looks good. It sounds good. Why don't I do this thing? But it's only for a season. Yeah, you can enjoy your pleasure, but it's only for a season. And that's the deceitfulness of sin. And one person said it like this, sin will take you where you don't want to go. It'll make you pay a price you don't want to pay. And it'll keep you longer than you want to stay. That's sin. That's what it does for you. And born of a hardened heart. We'll turn back over to Acts 19. But when various were hardened, you know, those few words there are like, whoa. These people had the great apostle Paul teaching them the word of the Lord for 3 months, and they walked away from it. Now, when the Bible says the fool has said in his heart there is no God, is that talking about a moral issue or is it talking about a mental issue? Which is it? Nancy and I talked, that's why we know. But when the fool said, what is the Hebrew saying there? It's a moral issue. They're foolish morally. It's not intellectually that they can't reason. They don't know what 2 + 2 is. No, it's not that type of fool. They're morally foolish. They walk away from the things of God. And these various were hardened and believed not. They were very foolish in what they did. And not only did they try to lead themselves away, but they spake evil of that way before the multitude. Well, you know when Paul looked at this situation? He looked at this group over there speaking evil of them in the synagogues and harden their hearts and just not getting with the program. So what did he do? He departed from them. Now, does that sound harsh? Does that sound harsh to depart from them? But at some point, there's coming a time when God says, he leaves you alone. You've hardened your heart. You don't want to hear the word of the Lord. So he departed from them, separated the disciples, the one that were receiving, and he invested in them. He invested in those that had a heart for the things of God. He invested in those that would hear the word of the Lord. And he went into the school of one Tyrannus. He rented the room, took the ones that were open, receptive to the things of God, and he poured his life into them. You know, for people that harden their heart, they've got to be so careful. Because at some point, you may, all these blessings coming at you, it can turn away from you, and then you're just left in the deceitfulness of sin. You know, I just wonder on the judgment day, these people that harden their hearts, when God looked at them and said, hey, I sent you a guy to teach you the word of the Lord. And they say, yeah. He said, 3 months Paul talked to you about how to get saved, how to get right with God, how to live the Christian life. What'd you do with that? I didn't do anything. Matter of fact, I spoke the evil of it. You know how bad that's going to sound before God? God said, I sent Paul to you. You know, there's a lot of people in the world never even hear it one time. And here these people heard it for 3 months, and yet they turned their hearts away. Well, we've got to be careful. And if we know people that are starting to harden their hearts, we should just encourage them. Hey, don't go down that road. It's going to take you in a place you don't want to be. So, yeah. Verse 10 says, and this continued by the space of 2 years, so all that which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus. You know, that's what God wants us to do. We've got to be careful we don't get tied up with the hardened-hearted people that don't believe. We want to touch the people that their hearts are open and receptive and move ahead with those that want to hear the word of the Lord. And that's how the church grows. Well, let's pray here. Dear Lord, thank you for what we've looked at here tonight. And Father, I pray that none of us would start down that pathway of a heart of unbelief or harden our hearts. God, may we be sensitive to the things of God. And hear your still small voice saying, this is a way, and walking in it. And Father, help us never to grieve you or bring your wrath into our lives. God, may we fear you exceedingly. And may we be never foolish morally, God, that we turn away from the true and living God of the words of God. Father, you're going to judge each person one day. God, you know the motives of our hearts. You know why we do what we do. And so, Lord, as that day appears, may we be faithful to the things of God as your people and love you with all of our heart as you direct our lives, God. So thank you for being a good God and patient with us and never-ending love of God. So, Lord, help us toward this end to live for you and not to have a hardened heart. In Jesus' name we pray.